Hello, and welcome to Hope Church. We're a local church with chill style, real faith, and no perfect people allowed. Thanks for checking out our podcast. This is a message from our Soquel location in the Santa Cruz, California area. We hope this message is encouraging. If you live near either of our locations, we'd love to have you join us for one of our many Sunday services.
Hello, welcome to Hope. Did we mess it up? We're live, baby. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so stoked to be here with you guys. What a great opportunity we have to worship together. Hey, let us know how you're doing, church. Tag the hashtag HopeChurchFam, and that will go right to us. We'll see it, and we can see different ways. We can post about it and see how you're doing, church, in these unique times. And I'm so excited to get to share with you guys today. Have you ever had fear cause you from missing something great? I know for me, my wife Jenny, I knew her since the third grade, and we became really good friends. And over the years, she was just a little bit out of reach. My best friend dated her in junior high, and then he dated her again in high school, and so she was kind of like off limits. But when we were working together at church, leading the youth group, and I had a Bible study at my parents' house, she would come over, we would hang out and sit on the edge of the driveway and talk for hours. I even took her out for Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. I remember the ice cream flavor that I got. It was a great moment. But then fear took hold of me because I had made a vow, being the extreme surfer, skater, punk rock drummer that I was. When I became a Christian, I was like, I'm going to be the most hardcore Christian you've ever seen. I'm not going to marry a girl. I'm not going to date anyone until it's the woman I'm going to marry. And so I had this like vow that I had, and I'm only like 18 years old at this point. And so here we are going out for Baskin-Robbins ice cream, hanging out, and it scared me how much I liked this girl. And I realized that I think I love this girl. And so I called her up like a chicken and said, Jenny, you just need to pray. I don't know where that came from. That's what I said. Talk about the worst way to break up with somebody. We weren't even dating, but I just broke her poor heart. Fast forward a few months, I blew it. Instead of dating the girl, I was afraid to date the girl that I knew was marriage material. I even told my mom, Mom, I could marry someone like Jenny. Instead of going that direction, I ended up dating the fun girl. I did. And I broke Jenny's heart. And she ended up getting asked out by another guy. And he took her out on dates and was really nice to her. And pretty soon they were getting serious. And pretty soon they got engaged. Oh my gosh, the fun girl thing lasted about like a month and it was over, and nothing happened. We just like went on a couple dates and it just didn't work out because she didn't really want to be married to a pastor, go figure. So after all that, now Jenny's off with this guy, I'm all alone, and fear caused me to almost miss out. Thankfully, they broke up. And thankfully, I got a second chance. But we don't always get a second chance, do we? And sometimes fear holds us back living the life that God intended us to live. How many of you guys right now are dealing with some fear? In the midst of a pandemic, there are some very real, tangible fears that are they're even rational fears. Like, I don't know about you, but like sometimes I'll just be walking around like, who's ever like coughed, right? And like we normally cough once in a while. You might eat something and get something in your throat and you cough. And like, I cough and it's like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I got COVID. I'm taking my temperature. Jenny, do I feel hot? I'm freaking out, right? There are some fears, some real fears, right? It's also a good way to kind of clear. If you get in people crowding you, just start coughing. They'll get far away from you. It's awesome. I do it in the surf lineup. Paddle out. It's a crowded day. All of a sudden I got all the waves of myself. It's amazing. So you can use that to your advantage. But, you know, we all have different fears. Right? I've never been afraid of spiders in my life. I'm kind of like the spider killer in the family. You know, I'm like trying to be nice to animals and creatures, but if there's a big spider in my house, you're going to die, okay? And I'm like the guy, my family calls on me as a dad. Like, that's what dads do, right? That's what dads are for. When there's a spider, my wife says, honey, there's a spider. And it's like this tiny big thing, little thing, you know? And I'm not spiders at all until like last week. I don't know where it came from, but I got bit by a spider on the neck. And this thing like swelled up. It got all gnarly and red and giant. And like, I'm like kind of like, I saw a spider in my office the other day and I kind of freaked out. I was like, ah. We get fears. And those fears aren't going to stop me from living my life. But the reality is there are real fears. And there's a lot of us that are dealing with that right now. Right? There's a lot of negative things happening in the world. And, you know, there's so many ways that we can get stuck in the fear. And we allow it to be the lens that we look through. Right? And so I want to talk about a story in the scriptures. We're going to go all the way back to Numbers chapter 13. If you guys have your Bibles, or you can, if you're watching on Church Online on our website, there's a little tab right there. You can just click the Bible. We're going to Numbers 13 in just a moment. Let me give you the backstory of the first. Okay, God like gave this promise to this family, right? And if you're new to the Bible, that's okay. We're glad you're here. And if you've been around it, sometimes it's good to get a reminder, a refresher, right? So there's this family that God gave this promise to through Abraham. Any kids out there you might know, or you know, older kids like me, you might know the old song, Father Abraham had many sons, right? So this is a guy that had faith, and God gave him this promise that I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a great nation. You're going to have many, many children, be a great nation, and I'm going to give you this land. So there's this promise, and all these years, even though the people weren't following God sometimes, and they got off track, how many of you guys know, even when we mess up, God still has a promise for us. And all these years, a lot of people would have given up, especially when they were 400 years. This family, there's 12 tribes now. There's a bunch of them. There's large numbers of this family that came from Abraham. And now Moses comes and sets them free from being in slavery in Egypt. 400 years in slavery. That's a long time. That's many generations of living and breathing and being a slave. And not being treated like a human. And that's where they were. And yet God rescued them. He parted the Red Sea for the people of Israel, brought them out. And instead of taking what some scholars would say, it's between an 11-day and a 40 or 60-day journey. But regardless, it's still, you know, you could do that in either, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months. You could do this journey. And instead of it taking that long, it took them 40 years because they were stubborn. They were afraid. They didn't want to listen to God and follow him in faith. And so they finally get there, and God says, I want you to send 12 spies. One from each. We have these different 12 different tribes, each family, right? Part of the family, there's these 12 different tribes. And so God picks a leader from each of these families, and they're to go in and be spies and check out the land. They're going in there. You know, they're probably wearing their little, you know, face mask. They're cruising around. They're checking it out. And we want you to go in there, look at the cities, look at the walls, look at the people. What are we up against? What kind of fruit do they have there? What kind of food? What is this land like? And so they send them in there, and there's 12 spies. 2 spies came back with 1 report. 10 spies came back with a different report. Let's check out what they said. This is verse 26 through 33, Numbers chapter 13. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. There was this great fruit. It said that it took 2 guys to carry the grapes back. I don't know about you, but I want to try some of those grapes. You know what I'm saying? That sounds really good. And it says there, so... They brought the fruit back. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey, right? So this is kind of like a picture of, this is like a flourishing land of plenty. This is a good place, flowing with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, so the Amalekites were the ones that, remember they fought, if you haven't heard the story, there's a story where they fought them and they almost lost, but God used Moses to hold up the staff and the sun stayed out so they could keep fighting, and they ended up overcoming them through the power of God. They should remember that, right? That was a good thing. God came through for them, but instead they remember, oh man, we almost got beat by them. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Right? So there's one report. We can do this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, and come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So there's so many things going on here, but the point is, they came back, and they had a report. Now, let me ask you a question. Was their report true? It was true. The land's beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's everything we've dreamed of. Everything God promised us, this land. We've been talking about it for all these years, 40 years, wandering in the wilderness, thinking about this land. It's everything that we wanted and the promise and the blessing of God. But the walls are really high. The people are really big. And we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. They came back and they stirred the people up. It says that they got everybody all riled up and said, let's get another leader and go back to Egypt. Like, Egypt is where they were enslaved. They were forced and whipped and beat for centuries. They suffered. They were more comfortable going back to their brokenness, the pain and the suffering of Egypt, than trusting God to go into the land that he's promised them for all these years. How could they be so blind? How could Joshua and Caleb have a different perspective? How could they see all these things where there's these big walls, the cities are fortified, the people are giant there, there's no way, but God will give us a way. We can do this. How could they come back with that report? How could these two have such a different report than the 10? You know, I know that the last few months have been hard, right? The last few months have been hard. And as you talk to different people, you see these different reports. Yeah, the reality is true. We're up against a lot right now. Things are changing. I think we're all kind of hitting the reality that things aren't just going back to normal, right? For a while we're saying, oh, we'll just go back to normal. Three more weeks, back to normal. Three more weeks. No. We're not going back to normal. And so now we're at this tipping point of emotion, realizing, wow, this is the new reality. Things are changing. And some of us have a different report. Some of us are looking through a different lens. And some people, I see people, like, issues coming to the surface and things are blowing up. And other people I see, like, in the midst of crisis and tragedy, God's emerging beauty from the ashes. And what's the difference? How could these two people have such a different report than the 10 people? I want to talk today about the lens we look through, because I think every day we have an opportunity to put on a different lens. I brought some sunglasses here. I've got I got my old shades, okay? I bought these. Who here has shades that you've had for more than 20 years? I want to know. Put it in the comments. I want to see what kind of shades. I've even got some Oakleys, the blades from when I was a kid. I didn't even bust those out, but because those actually are in pretty good condition. These I got when I was in high school. One of the leaders in our youth group owned a sunglass shop, and so he hooked me up with a sweet deal on these shades. And they are so old. I don't know how I've lost so many sunglasses, but somehow these have stayed with me forever. And they're so beat up. They're so scratched, like, I can't see anything right now. with the lights, like I'm pretty much blind. I can't even see the camera. And I'm looking through a scratched, skewed, darkened lens. And when we allow fear, we all face fear, you guys. Everyone is dealing with fear. And I know there's kids watching right now, and you might be dealing with fear about, you know, the coronavirus. And when am I going to see my friends again? My son the other day said, I just want to hug my friends, but I can't because of the coronavirus. And it broke my heart. You know, and there's real fear. And we face that fear, just like Joshua and Caleb, but we don't have to look through the lens of fear. When you look through the lens of fear, it darkens everything you see. It darkens your picture of God. It darkens your picture of yourself. It darkens your pictures of others and your own abilities. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Why would they say that? They're looking through the lens of fear. I got 2 points for you. The first one is this. When I look through the lens of fear, we miss the goodness of God when we look through the lens of fear. We miss the goodness of God when we look through the lens of fear. They were right outside the promised land. It's like they're outside the gates of Disneyland. They could see Mickey Mouse, but they're too afraid to go in. Right outside the promised land. And they missed it because they were looking through the lens of fear. Fear changes the way we see God. Fear changes the way we see ourselves. Fear changes the way we see the world. And God's promises are true. They're always true, but sometimes we can't see them. We can't experience the blessing and the joy because we're looking through the lens of fear. I want to read you a beautiful passage from Isaiah 40, and it's full of encouragement, but it's also a promise. Check this out, Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it's a promise to this family of Abraham, this family of Israel, that we, through Christ, are connected with, right? We get to be adopted into this really cool family and this blessing. And it says this, Isaiah 41, verse 10, from the NASB translation, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Do you believe that? That He's with you right now? "Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I wish my name was Shirley, don't you? Just kidding. "Surely I will uphold you." He's not just talking to Shirley, he's talking to you. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." I think about the Psalm 23. This isn't in the notes or anything, but this is one of my favorite psalms. And there's this shift in the psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul," or "He restores my soul," in another translation. "Guides me in the right paths for His name's sake." Right? And it's this beautiful picture of David referring to God as a shepherd. David was the king who was a shepherd, who shepherded when he was a boy. And he's thinking about God as his shepherd, but he's referring to Him in third person. "The Lord is my shepherd," right? But then it gets personal. He says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." There's something about remembering God's presence that relinquishes our fear. Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When I'm connected with the presence of God and I'm tapped in to His love, it just pushes the fear out of my life. Even though I'm facing fear, even though I have real tangible fears, when I remember that God is with me, I can say, "I won't fear because You're with me." The second point I have for today, I only have two, is my last point, is this. We experience the promises of God when we look through the lens of faith. We experience the promises of God when we look through the lens of faith, there are so many promises that God has for us. So many promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:8. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that gave his life for us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. Right? We have these great promises, but we will never experience them if we don't have faith. We got to put on new shades, and it's called the lens of faith. We experience the promises when we look through the lens of faith. This is what Joshua and Caleb had. These are my new Father's Day electric polarized. These things are so cool. I can actually see you back there because they're not all scratched up. These things are so cool. When the surf's flat, I go out on my paddleboard and I cruise around, or sometimes on the harbor just for exercise, and I put these polarized shades on, and they're like X-ray vision because it looks past the glare and you can actually see down into the water. Sometimes when I'm driving by the ocean or the mountains, it's like this beautiful picture because the polarized lenses, they pick up colors that you can't always see because of the glare or the lighting. They pick up like greens and blues. These glasses allow me to see things that I can't normally see with my own eyes. And that's what faith does for us. When we look through the lens of faith, we can be like Joshua and Caleb. We can stand up against these big walls and these big people who want to come against us and take us down and not be afraid. We might feel fear. We might look at it and go, wow, they're bigger than me. I don't know. But we can look and see something else because we can see the promises of God. We can see that God, since the beginning of time, had this promise to restore and redeem and bring wholeness to all humanity through this family. This promise through Abraham that he says, I want to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to the whole world. And I want to give you this land and I want to make you a great nation, right? And I think that same promise is for us too, that God wants to bless us. And that doesn't just mean monetary possessions, you guys. I mean, right in the midst of this whole like COVID thing, right? Where a lot of people have lost jobs and are experiencing different things, but there are blessings in the midst of that, right? Shelter in place is not fun, but there's this blessing of with my family where we're growing closer, we're loving each other, we're feeling more connected because of all that's going on. There's blessings even in the midst of suffering, right? That's the kind of blessing that God's talking about. Even in the midst of facing difficult circumstances, God gives Joshua and Caleb faith to see something that no one else saw because they looked through the lens of faith. They saw something different. They took their fears to God and he gave them a new perspective of faith. I love this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what God has promised. There's this connection, you guys. God has a promise for you, but and is it true? Absolutely. Is it going to come to pass? Absolutely. Will you get to experience it? I wish I could say for sure. But a lot of times the promises of God depend on us actually believing in them so we can experience them. And that's true all through Scripture. And yes, there are some promises that are absolutely true, whether you think or feel about it. But most of the things in the Word, even when it comes to salvation, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, faith, right there, will not die, but have eternal life, right? So there's this there's this little thing that we have to do, and it's not about trying to be perfect, look right, act right, be the perfect Christian, drive the perfect Christian minivan, none of that stuff. It's about just believing and putting the lens of faith on and go, okay, this looks hard, this looks scary, but I believe that God has something for me in this. So I want to encourage you guys today. Where are you tempted to look through the lens of fear? Are you looking through the lens of faith, or are you looking through the lens of fear today? And as we face new challenges on the daily basis, every week, you know, we were fearful. Lord, what do we do about our kids? Like with schooling, you know, we're like, they're going to go back to school. They're going to do distant learning. We're going to do homeschooled. I don't know. We were feeling afraid. Like, what do we do? Like the future and success of my child depends on this. I'm freaking out, right? And it's amazing. My wife and I, we got together, talked with some friends, we prayed, and it was like, whew, some decisions were made. We prayed about it. We have peace. Even though it's scary, it's a different time. But we can have peace because we look through the lens of faith, and we can take action moving forward towards the blessing and the promises of God. And I want to encourage us today. What would it look like to bring your fears to God like we did? What would that look like today with your friend or with your spouse or as a kid with your parents? What are you feeling fearful about? What are you facing? What are you up against? What would it look like to bring that to God? Because when we bring it to God, His presence comes into that situation. His love that casts out fear comes in that situation and allows us to look through the lens of faith. What if we, as a community of Jesus followers, look through the lens of faith and all out in the community, in our neighborhoods, in our interaction online, everywhere we are, we express this, we're not one of those 10 that come back going, man, we can't do this, we're freaking out. We're like the Joshua and the Caleb generation, and we're saying, we can do this. Even though this is hard, even though this is different than anything we've been through, we're going through change. What if we had the lens of faith so that we can lead the way and walk in the blessings and the promises of God? How could God use you and me and us together to be a light to our community in the midst of this time? I think we were brought here for such a time as this, that we can shine the light of Jesus and His love and His generosity in such times as this. Will you join me as we bring our fears to God today and look to Him and allow Him to give us the lens of faith to look through?
We hope this message encouraged you to take the next steps in your relationship with God. The cool thing is that you don't have to do it alone. There are a lot of ways you can get connected here at Hope. Not only do we want you to feel at home at Hope, we'd love to help you find a home. Please check out discoverhope.church and click connect, or just email us at info@discoverhope.church. Lastly, we give everything we can away for free and rely 100% on volunteers and donations to support this ministry. If you'd like to give to the mission of Hope Church, you can select the give option on our website or text any amount to 831-800-2060. Thanks again for tuning in.